Hey, what's going on? This is not the Jar Show. This is just Ronnie's podcast for this lovely evening. While Jay sits on the couch and plays some guitar, he was kind enough to let me come in and do this because I wanted to see if I couldn't hold my own during a just a little half hour, maybe less, a little something for you folks. For anybody out there that likes me, I guess Rick might be excluded from that bunch. Sorry, buddy. But I have a couple things to talk about that might be a little too controversial for the Jar Show, maybe? I don't know. Jay, what do you think? Oh, wait, you're not here. Might be a little controversial, but, I guess we can get right into this one here. By the way, this is a Tuesday, October 16th. Lovely, awesomely amazing, very hot day today. Which I'm sure you will hear all about in the next hour's show. But let's start with something here. Looks like this one came from the Huffington Post. The video was provided by KTLA5. It looks like there's a teacher trying to ban Flamin' Hot Cheetos from school. I don't know what the problem is. I guess they're too unhealthy. And just to top it all off here, it's great because it's a Lyndon B. Johnson Elementary School, or maybe it's middle school. Regardless, LBJ trying to ban hot Cheetos from the students. Let's find out why. Hey, there we go.
The popularity of Flaming Hot Cheetos has fired up a health teacher at Lyndon B. Johnson Middle School. That teacher is taking a stance to douse students snacking on the teen favorite. A letter to parents urges them to keep the Cheetos at home for many reasons. Poor nutritional value. Students eat Cheetos instead of a good lunch. Plus, they share the Cheetos, spreading germs.
So, apparently it's news to everybody that hot Cheetos aren't healthy. Neat. Not only that, but when you share, which I was always taught as a child that sharing is caring, you spread germs. So this is all news to everybody. Apparently at LBJ Elementary, so let's check it out.
And the last and messiest reason, janitors have to clean up red fingerprints everywhere from the dye in the Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Oh no, janitors have to do their job at LBJ. I can't believe this. Janitors have to, they have to clean the red marks of the kids' Cheeto fingers. This is unbelievable.
LBJ parents admit they are guilty of feeding.
I just pulled up on the screen LBJ Middle School.
The habit.
My daughter brings snack packs to school. I don't have her bringing a family-sized pack of Cheetos to school just because I know my child and I know that she will eat the whole bag in one day.
The bag has 4 servings, but administrators are concerned many students will eat the whole thing, chomping down 44 grams of fat and nearly 700 calories at once. That's about half the caloric intake that a teenager needs in one day.
I do appreciate that the school is trying to take charge in that way to try to keep the kids healthy and active.
The bottom line...
So this lady appreciates the fact that the school is trying to step in and tell her, I'm sorry, no, you're not allowed to give your daughter hot Cheetos on her way to school. She's just not allowed to have that, apparently. Which I guess I would fundamentally disagree with, because I find it to be total BS that the school is telling kids what they can and cannot eat. Maybe I'm the oddball out in this situation, because apparently the lovely African-American woman that they interviewed thought ever so differently, although she gives her daughter snack packs, and she knows that if she got the family size, she would eat the whole thing. Can you believe it? You know, this was just never an issue, I guess, 7, 8, 9 years ago when I went to middle school. There was no, I mean, yeah, we had the lunch cart out, we had the, you know, different lunch lines every once in a while. We have, like, In-N-Out or Carl's Jr. come to the school. You know, lunch for $5, whatever the case might have been, because they knew kids would come eat it. And I guess that all relies on the parents, really, not the school to tell the parents they can't eat it. Interesting. Whatever. But another thing dealing with, I guess, a lot of school and a lot of parenting, in my opinion, which I guess this might be the one thing that's very controversial, but I guess we'll bring up on the Jar Show after this as well. Maybe this is just something that's been bothering me a lot lately. But, you know, yeah, I'm hearing this whole big cry out of stop bullying. Bullying needs to stop. You know, yeah, all these kids have been committing suicide because they've been bullied. Which is a tragedy. I will be the first to admit it. It's a horrible tragedy. Nobody should be committing suicide because of what other kids say to them. But at the same time, you know, I went on the most recent one. The Facebook page for it is Rest in Peace Amanda Todd was the name of the young lady who committed suicide. I guess a solid month away from being 16, and I guess she was bullied. The rumor is she was in a relationship and cheated and was bullied severely after that. She had made a YouTube video saying, you know, I can't believe this is so horrible. This is awful. I can't believe people are doing this. Then one day she gets home from school and tells her mother, hey, I'm doing great. You know, yeah, things are really starting to look up. And, within the next week, she committed suicide. I'm not sure exactly how, but the details on that aren't important. The important part is that she committed suicide. Now, what I don't understand here is, you know, I went to her Facebook page because I was curious. You know, I did a little investigative report on what everything was here. And, maybe, again, this could just completely be me. And I guess, at least I know Rick will completely love to get on the Facebook page and tell me that everything I'm saying is only me. And I'm the only one that thinks this way. But regardless, Rick... I saw on the Facebook page, there were really two pictures, I guess, that stuck out to me. One of them was a picture of a little boy, maybe 4 or 5, crying. And there was, a bunch of, nasty words that formed a hand that was choking him. And the, title of the picture was Words Hurt. Now, I was always brought up, the good old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but I'm sure as everybody else out there knows, words will never hurt me. Maybe that's, again, just how I was brought up. Maybe I really am the oddball out here. I'm not really sure. But, I don't understand this. They're blaming the schools for all this. Stop bullying. Schools need to take a stronger stance. Bullying now goes as far as... telling somebody they look bad or they look fat or they look ugly. I don't know. That's not bullying to me. That's just somebody being a dick or, just going out of their way to feel hurtful, whether it's because they're insecure about themselves, whatever the case might be. And I guess the sad thing about the most recent one, Amanda Todd, is she's not she's not a bad looking gal. You know, she was relatively attractive for, a 15, almost 16-year-old. She was cute, and the fact that she killed herself because she was, over this rumor, whether or not it was a rumor, I don't know, and I don't care to know. It's horrible, but at the same time, there was another picture that stuck out to me. It was a picture of somebody's arm, and it was cut up and bleeding. Just like the kids apparently love to do that. I'm so unaware of myself, and the picture, the title of this picture was, is that joke still funny? And I'm thinking like, what the hell does that, what the hell is that supposed to mean? I can't make a joke about your appearance or, something you do, your personality, cause you might go home and cut yourself. Now I have to censor myself cause I have to be worried of whether or not the person I'm making fun of is going to go kill themselves. Look, I was bullied constantly. All throughout elementary school and middle school, I was punched in the face. I was punched in the, in the genital region. I was punched in the stomach. I was kicked on the ground. I was kicked everywhere you can think of. I was choked. It's anything. I was thrown all over the place. And I never cut myself. I never even considered committing suicide. Even when I was getting physically beaten, I was mentally bullied, as the new term has come to be, every fucking day, every single day, mentally bullied by, not so much teachers, just the students around me who apparently didn't like me. I was a loner. Oh, didn't really have much to do with that one, I moved from, school district to school district, quite frequently, and due to that, I was an easy target. Maybe I think responsibility should be put onto the parents for not being as involved in the kids' lives as they should be. And this is where the subject gets very controversial. It's not the school's fault for stepping in and making sure the bullying stopped on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube. The school shouldn't have to monitor that. The parents should be the ones to monitor that. look, you're not going to get a Facebook, or I guess in my case when I was younger, it was you're not going to get a MySpace unless I have the password. Did that piss me off? Hell yeah, it pissed me off. But I wanted to have a way to communicate with my friends, so I said, sure, yeah, whatever, Mom, here's the password. And then you know what I did the next day? I changed it. I did. And she never found out because she didn't care. She just wanted to know that if I was acting up, she would have a way to go on there and check. And if she would have went on and figured it out, she would have asked for the right one. She would have went on right then and there and figured everything out. That's what I mean by, you know, I mean, yeah, the responsibility really lies in the hands of the parent on that one. And I guess I got a little serious a little soon here. Only, gosh, not even 11 minutes in. But I mean, yeah, the responsibility in that, I mean, yeah, we're talking about all these bills going through the state Senate and Congress and D.C. about stop bullying and all this. I mean, there was a zero tolerance physical abuse policy when I was in middle school. Mind you, I was suspended a few times for getting in fights, quite a lot in 1 year, actually. But I mean, the majority of those times I was defending myself, and I was the one who got suspended for 5 days because I was punched and I punched back and I punched harder and I made people cry. So apparently I was the very bad person for defending myself, which I'm a big fan of. If somebody, I guess, punches you, you finish it. You put all this nonsense to an end. So, I mean, that's just how I was raised. That's what I did in middle school, which I guess this was in middle school, seventh grade, for this young lady. And I mean, yeah, a lot of this responsibility needs to be put in the hands of the parents, and it's not. It's being put in the hands of the politicians. We do not need these people running our lives. We do not need these people creating rules for our everyday private lives. I mean, laws, of course, but I mean, things like this is just, in my opinion, at least, it goes a step too far. Just way too much of a step too far. So that's that. And I mean, while I'm on the topic of a step too far, it looks like there was a young girl. Gosh, I'm trying to find how old. 16. So, I believe it was in high school. I believe it was a freshman in high school. This young lady, at Charles Carroll High School in Philadelphia, Jay's hometown. Whoop whoop. She was, I guess, verbally assaulted? Yeah, I guess mentally abused. I'll start using that term for whenever somebody says something I don't like. For wearing a T-shirt expressing support for Republican candidate Mitt Romney. And now this story is from the Daily Caller, the D.C. So, yeah, she wore this. And according to the chief communications of for the school district of Philadelphia, he says, "We are in the midst of our process, the due process, of investigating." And he's saying he expects the process to be done within a couple weeks or so. I mean, what is there to investigate? I mean, yeah, this girl wore this T-shirt, and God, I'm trying to find exactly what the teacher said to her on here. God, talk about pre-reading. I'm horrible with this kind of stuff. See, this is why I need Jay around. This is why I keep him around here. Just don't tell him I said anything. I mean, yeah, I know that the outcome of this was that Mitt Romney called this young lady and said thanks for the support, and due to that, they switched classrooms. But he went on a rampage, just saying stuff like, you know, yeah, I can't believe, you know, yeah, I'm gonna. It's the same thing as wearing KKK garb, garbage. He insisted this is a democratic school. So I can't have a different opinion than my teacher or the rest of my classmates or the rest of the student body. Because why again? Because it's different than your belief, so it's wrong, and it puts me in the Ku Klux Klan. Okay, so far I'm really making a lot of sense of this. I mean, this is total BS. Is what this is. And I mean, you know, yeah. When's the last time you heard of somebody going to school wearing a Barack Obama T-shirt? Which, by the way, happens a lot more frequently than it does a Mitt Romney T-shirt, because a lot of the younger kids are all in support of Obama. We know that a great majority of teachers that belong to the teachers' unions are huge supporters of Barack Obama. And when the hell does anybody say anything to them? Never. I remember once I was sitting in the hallway waiting for band class to start. That would have been junior year in 2008. ramping up to the election. And November 6th, my teacher shows up on election day, or whatever day it was that year, whichever Tuesday, and he's wearing an I voted sticker. And somebody asked, well, who'd you vote for? And he said, I'm a teacher. I voted for Obama. It's like, what the fuck? I mean, just because you're a teacher, that means you have to vote for Obama? I was unaware of this this standard, but I mean, at least in my opinion, this one really stuck out to me because, I mean, you know, yeah, it was put in the same boat as KKK garbage, which I guess bothers me to a great extent. I guess myself being a Republican or more so a conservative. I mean, I think what the KKK does is horrible. I mean, I respect their beliefs. They're allowed to believe whatever the hell they'd want. At least that's the America that I live in. But I mean, I just don't know. I just really don't know. And I mean, you know, I guess it was news to a friend of mine that, yeah, when you're registering to vote, at least when I registered, I believe you were allowed to register as a, I think it was the American Independent Party or the Nazi Party, one or the other. And he goes, wow, I can't believe this is, you know, this is the 21st century and we're still allowed to do that. I was thinking, allowed to do that? I mean, at least in the America that I live in, I mean, you can kind of believe whatever the hell you want. I mean, you know, yeah, if white people, you know, if you're say a Latino and you think all white people are the devil and should be murdered, I mean, you're allowed to believe whatever the hell you want. I mean, yeah, as long as you don't act upon that, that's where we get into big trouble. So, I guess another side topic of my nothing but rants today, because I guess I felt like ranting today. You know, yeah, it's the day of the second presidential debate, so I figured I'd go off. I'd have some fun, whatever. What else did I have here? This right here looks like it is from the Chicago Tribune in the national politics section. Paul Ryan, quote, did nothing during soup kitchen photo op. This one stuck out to me because I'm thinking, oh, Paul Ryan went to a soup kitchen, and then I read a little bit more into this. Now, maybe I'm doing some evil here because I'm pushing down my own side, but it says here, Republican vice presidential candidate Paul D. Ryan is stirring up controversy with a photo op at a Youngstown, Ohio soup kitchen. Basically, what he did is he went in there, and the president of the, what the hell is this, of the Mahoning County St. Vincent de Paul Society, Brian J. Antle, said they showed up there and did not have permission. Now, I was under the impression you didn't need permission to go to a soup kitchen. I mean, is it like the VIP room at the Viper Room? I mean, you need to be on the list. I'm sorry, what's your name? Bill Jones. Sorry, Bill, you're not on the list. What the hell are they doing? Turning people away from the soup kitchen? So basically, Ryan spoke at a campaign event, you know, right near Youngstown State University on Saturday, and I believe afterwards he stopped by again, quote, without permission, according to the charity's president, and did nothing during his 15-minute stay. He merely went in there to have some pictures taken, doing some dirty dishes, make it look like he gives a shit, and then went home. I mean, I would love to hear something from, I guess, an employee, maybe. I mean, you know, yeah, somebody that was working down at the soup kitchen that day, just not the president of the soup kitchen, who is so obviously a liberal. It's not even funny to me, which I don't have a problem with liberals. I just have a problem with narrow-minded, one-sided liberals, as I have an issue with narrow-minded, one-sided conservatives who only hear one side of the story and don't give two dams to listen to the other side. But, I mean, yeah, I'd love to hear from at least one other person here, or, yeah, have Paul Ryan come out with something saying exactly what he was doing there. Was he going there for a photo shoot? Hey, I guess he's allowed to, but not if he's uninvited or did not have permission. I guess that makes him a bad, evil man. We shouldn't vote for him. He's got to be president. Oh, no, wait, he's got to be vice president. So basically he's a puppet for Mitt Romney. It does absolutely nothing without his permission. So the fact that anything he does is newsworthy is news to me. And you know, yeah, there was another interesting story here of how exactly that good old Todd Akin remark was broken by a super PAC. It says American Bridge is the name of the super PAC. Where's the full name of the super PAC here? It's a Democratic super PAC, believe it or not. American Bridge 21st Century. An employee of the super PAC was eating breakfast while monitoring media appearances. By the way, this is Huffington Post as well. And he's been monitoring the media appearances of the state state Senate candidate from Missouri, Mr. Todd Akin, Mr. Infamous Legitimate Rape. He had spent a few hours doing so. He was getting bored with it. And then he heard this, where he made his legitimate rape, how women can't get pregnant from due to legitimate rape. After that, the very first thing he did was he blasted this out to every media news outlet out there. Which, by the way, the fact that even this is news is funny to me because this is his job. So here's an American citizen doing his job, fighting for one party, which I don't have a problem with. I'd probably be doing the same thing if I were part of a super PAC for Mr. Romney or any Republican candidate. And that's the first thing he did. He blasted it out to the media as fast as he could, says this lovely article. By the way, this was on the morning of August 19th, 2012. Now, basically what happened after that, the GOP stepped in, said, hey, we're gonna need that seat back. We kind of want it for somebody else who we trust a little bit more and isn't a nut job, if you wouldn't mind stepping down from that, Mr. Akin. Now, mind you, these are the people that put him in power in the first place. So they're asking him now to step down. He's obviously going to get some kind of money to do so. We all know that it was never mentioned, but of course he will. Of course he would. Mr. Akin said no. Basically, gave him the good old one finger salute. Said, no, I'm going to keep running because I've been doing so damn well. So the GOP took the $5 million, which was set aside for his campaign, and they said, you know what? You don't get this anymore. You kind of went behind us, disobeyed us, if you will. So we're going to use this money for somebody more deserving. Basically, you know, they're probably just going to distribute it or give it to Romney or distribute it to people who aren't whack jobs and think that women can't get pregnant from unless it's legitimate rape, or yeah, they can't get pregnant from legitimate rape because their bodies have a way of shutting it down. I mean, I know abortion is controversial, but I think legitimate rape is a little bit more controversial. I don't know. So there was that story from again, Huffington Post politics, of course, which you know, the Huffington Post is always non-biased, very, very one way or the other. They're very one way and not the other. The Huffington and Puffington Post. But on another note, now this one I actually found kind of humorous, believe it or not. Rachel Held Evans is an evangelical author, and now here's her problem. She uses the word vagina and has the book that she is trying to get published passed over by the largest Christian chain of publishers. I'm not sure exactly what the name of the publishers are, or is, rather. And the book is called Year of Biblical Womanhood. She talked about her vagina, her 16-year-old self's vagina, and the church asked her to take all those references out. Say, nope, can't use the word vagina. Apparently the word vagina isn't in the Bible, so it's not a legal swear word. Maybe we should amend the Constitution to make vagina a bad word. Oh, that or just, you know, get rid of all vaginas might be the next step. Or we can all pull a Rick Perry. Get rid of, hey, was that Jay clapping for me? Cool. Get rid of all vaginas. Thanks, Jay. Or we can, damn it, Jay, I lost my train of thought. Mr. Sitting on the couch smirking at me. Or I guess we can always pull a Rick Perry and make sure the girls get their HPV shots by the time they're 12 or 13 or whatever absolutely ridiculous age he decided to make that one mandatory. Again, another thing I believe should be in the hands of the parents. Hey, you're getting this because I want to watch out for your safety, not having the government step in and say, you know what, can I stick this needle here up your vagina and... can we take care of this? I mean, is that all right? Can we do that? No, we can't do this? Are you sure? So apparently, I mean, the headline that caught my eye was, is vagina a bad word? That one just really, really stuck out to me, giggity, like a sore thumb, ding. I mean, is the word vagina now a bad... I mean, I know the C word is a bad word, but vagina, penis, these are not bad words. These are body parts, folks. Just like shit, poop, ass, excrement, burp, fart. These are all not bad words, are they, Jay? I didn't think so. As he's over there making musical genius with his amazing music that he does. And I guess to top things off here, we can always bring up what recently happened in Benghazi at our... I am utterly blanking on this. Anyways, what happened in Benghazi, from what we know, is there was a huge protest against the video of Mr. Nikula. He had made an anti-Muhammad film, an anti-Muslim film, and apparently there was a big outcry over the film and how horrible it was. Now we know that the protest and the assassination of our ambassador... Hey, the embassy, there we go. The assassination of our ambassador in Libya had nothing to do with it. It was a pre-planned attack that our current administration was fully aware of for at least 48 hours. And what's funny to me is Hillary Clinton came out today and she said, I'm taking responsibility for this. I don't know, I tried to go Bill Clinton for Hillary, but whatever. She's taking responsibility for it, saying it's all her fault. The day of the debate and 3 weeks before the election, she's trying to take all the blame off President Obama. Why? That's because she, too, would like a job, you know, the next 4 years. Something in the administration, even if it's not Secretary of State, she would like a job. Mind you, she never has to work, nor does Bill, but she wants something to do. You know, I mean, yeah, who the hell wants to spend all their time sitting around with Bill Clinton? You know, it actually might be kind of neat. Maybe it's because I've never met the guy. But I mean, you know, yeah, I guess a political power couple is always a whole lot of fun. Always a lot of great topics to go on there. But I mean, yeah, she wants a job for the next 4 years. So, you know, yeah, of course she's coming out saying, you know, well, you know, yeah, this one was all my fault. You know, my bad. I apologize. What I don't get is not what I don't get. What she said was, you know, all these decisions were made by security officials, high ranked security officials made these calls. I was unaware that she was a high ranked security official. She was a senator. Her husband was president, and now she's Secretary of State. Under the guy that beat her in the election. And she's apparently perfectly happy with it. She's very pleased. I found that to be quite interesting. And, you know, yeah, I still really haven't heard anything direct at all from the Obama administration saying, hey, this had nothing to do with the video, which, by the way, the guy is now in jail for that video, in federal prison, believe it or not, for that video, for the death of the ambassador, which... he had nothing to do with it. Had absolutely nothing to do with that. And I'm just waiting for when the administration directly comes out and says, "Hey, this was not the result of Mr. Nikula. This was the result of basically the embassies over there were getting pissed off." And Donald Trump, of all people, brought up a really good point. Believe it or not, he says, "I bet the terrorists in Libya used weapons we supplied them during their so-called, quote-unquote, revolution to attack our embassy in Benghazi." Hey, I could have just read that. It would have gotten the word a lot faster. But yes, we did supply the embassy, not the embassy, but the Libyan people, weapons during their revolution against Muammar Gaddafi. And they shot him with his own pistol. They didn't even use the weapons that we gave him. So what the hell was the point in that? But I mean, yeah, we funded the death of a dictator, which I guess we've taken out dictators directly before. But we funded and supplied the death of another human being, a pro-American, pro-U.S. human being, who was not that bad of a guy, believe it or not. But apparently, the media always needs something to blame on somebody. And I guess my time's out. Which, that sucks. I mean, I guess I could just keep going and ranting and leave Jay over there playing his guitar, but I won't do that. I won't do that. I did prematurely turn the music up, though, because I'm not Mr. Olin, because I'm not a badass. But I guess, listen to my show, first off. Then, after that, check out the Jar of Truth podcast with myself and Mr. Jay Olin. You can find that one, jarshow.podomatic.com. You can also check us out on Facebook.com/jarshow or follow us on Twitter at jarshow. And lastly, search us on iTunes. And if you have any suggestions for my show, for Jay's show, for our show, for the epicness that is the Jar Show, send us an email at jaroftruth@gmail.com. This has been Ronnie ranting on whatever he feels like talking about for the evening.